One of the great things about being a casting director with a podcast is that I get to talk directly to you and answer questions that I received every week. Like, for example, do you know what to do after an audition? Do you know how to list background work on your resume? Do you have an audition story that you need to make sense of? This will be answered along with your other questions and some additional comments on this episode of Casting Actors Cast.
This is Casting Actors Cast. Each episode takes you behind the scenes and answers your questions about the business of show. Please don't forget to subscribe and like wherever you get your podcasts. Now here's the host of Casting Actors Cast, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Well, hello and welcome to today's episode of Casting Actors Cast. I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach. I'm a casting director with the McCorkle Group in New York. Welcome. It's so cool that you are here. I'm excited about today's episode just because I get so many questions from people all over the world. And I also get some comments and I get all kinds of stuff. And I thought it would be kind of fun today to share a few of those with you. But first, this is that moment of the podcast where I just want to say thank you for tuning in to Casting Actors Cast. I invite you to check out the YouTube channel, Casting Actors Cast on YouTube. We simulcast our podios, our podcast videos, so that you can watch me do these videos, these podcasts at the same time if you like. Additionally, if you go to the website, castingactorscast, all one word, .com, you're going to find all kinds of really, what I think, at least, some really cool stuff. You're going to find past episodes of Casting Actors Cast. You're going to find Jeff's jots, which are literally corresponding show notes to each of the episodes of the podios, the podcast videos. And then if you fill out that form that says dive into the talent pool, that will open up some additional freebies for you. One is a free book called Conversation Pieces Out of the Studio, the voiceover workshop for professional actors. It's a 100-page PDF book all about doing voiceover work. I think you're going to find that really helpful. Additionally, there's a free video called Casting Directors Secrets, What They Don't Want You to Know. But I'm going to tell you in this free 20-minute video as well. So we are a like-minded community of actors. I am here to help you in your career and in your acting. So we're going to take just a quick moment. There are a couple of people who promote the podios, the podcast videos on their sites. And so I'm going to return the favor right now. This episode of Casting Actors Cast would not be possible without the following cross-promotional shout-outs. Actors Connection. Please do yourself a favor and check out Actors Connection. They provide classes, seminars, workshops with working industry professionals to help you advance your acting career. Go to actorsconnection.com/New York for their current calendar of amazing classes, workshops, and events. WeAudition.com. WeAudition.com is the video chat community to audition, self-tape, rehearse, and get expert industry advice. Find a rehearsal or self-tape partner instantly. Earn money for rehearsing with other actors. And as a special incentive to Casting Actors Cast listeners, you will receive 25% off membership using the code CAC25. That's CAC25 for a membership discount. WeAudition.com. Now, other places in addition to the ones I've just mentioned that I am teaching at include The Growing Studio and T. Schreiber Studio. So I ask you to go ahead and please visit their websites as well. And check out the schedule at castingactorscast.com/classes/workshops. And I hope that we can work together soon. All right, let's just jump in. Thank you so much for that. And I really wish that you would check out some of those folks that I talk about, only because I think they are in a similar situation where their goal is to simply help actors achieve their dreams, to achieve their goals. And no better places that I can think of are, you know, Actors Connection, and just all kinds of really cool opportunities that are out there for you. So please do check those out. So let's talk to our first, I'm just going to read our first comment that I received. I just thought this was kind of a nice thing. By the way, if you feel so inclined, if you've gotten anything out of this podcast, these podcast videos, I implore you to please leave a like, please share it with your friends. Also, a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts go a long way towards helping increase the numbers of folks that are finding us on Casting Actors Cast. I couldn't be more delighted at the number of people that are finding this podcast, and it continues to grow exponentially. So I am so grateful. But you know what? Please help me spread the word. So that's all I ask. All right. So our first letter, our first email that I received, this is from Camilla, and here's the message. Love, love, love listening on the podcast. I've been listening over and over again. Love to get the PDF book you recommended. Thank you. Camilla from Sweden. So I just wanted to say that because you know what? She's from Sweden. Isn't that cool? I love hearing from people from all over the world. It's kind of, I don't know, it just kind of makes me feel good that there are folks that are tuning in and getting stuff out of what I'm sharing. That's why I do this. All right, let's take a look at the next person who wrote me. And it's an interesting story, audition story, that Michael Corrine is sharing with us. And so I'm going to respond because he's asking a question, but he wants to do a setup first before we get there. So he says, my name is Michael Corrine, and I'm an actor local to NYC. I just started listening to your podcast literally 30 minutes ago, and I am so excited to listen to every episode you have so far, as well as future episodes. Your insight is really valuable, and thank you. You mentioned you wanted to hear audition stories, and I would love to share one where I'm not sure exactly what I did right, but I have not been able to duplicate it since. In 2018, I was getting really emotional about not booking recurring stand-in roles while doing full-time stand-in and background work. On set one day, I just decided I had to shift my focus from the background to the foreground. And on that day, a non-exclusive manager of mine asked me to drive down to Baltimore and audition for a SAG feature film called Magic Hour. I said no, because minutes before that call, Background Inc. called me to book me in the background of a commercial for the same day, of course, which made me very happy because they essentially pay twice the rate of a film TV background day. I was ecstatic to get the commercial background job, but upset that I just declared to the universe how I want more and then turn down my opportunity to have more. Minutes later, my manager called back and said the audition was moved to the next day, and I took it immediately. I was emailed a 1 3.5-page scene, and I immediately got to work. I read it over and over again. It was for a 15-year-old geek with braces trying to ask out a female student who was wearing a neck brace to the dance. At the time, I was 31 years old. I read the character breakdown and made sure to wear exactly what they described him as wearing. I also found a picture from when I was 15 and made my hair and face look as close to that picture as possible. On the morning of my audition, I recorded myself reading it, and then I listened to it for the entire 4-hour drive to Baltimore. When I walked into the casting office, I saw that no other actor was wearing what the character description said, which, well, I thought was strange. And after a couple of minutes, I got called into the room where the casting director was, and she said, before we start, why don't we just go over it once? After the read, she said, well, that was good, but your character is more of an asshole type than a nerd type. Are you ready? Well, I replied I was. And we read it once more, and she thanked me, and I left. On the way out, I had felt like I nailed it, which rarely happens. 3 weeks later, the casting office called me directly to book me for a completely different role, and Magic Hour ended up being a working title for Wonder Woman 1984. I'm sharing this because while I felt like I had finally figured out a great process for auditioning and auditioning prep, I have only booked one role since then, leading me to think that I have no idea what I did right in that audition. Thank you for your advice, your podcast, and the opportunity to share my story. I look so forward to continuing to listen. Wow, Michael, thank you so very much. He ends it by sincerely, Michael Kareen. Michael, thank you so much for sending that in. Now, I know it's kind of a long, involved story, but I'd like to kind of give you my input of the situation. And this really, I think, speaks to the reality of what we all find ourselves in. And that is that it becomes challenging to know what we have control over versus what we don't have control over. So you had control over the decision to take that commercial and the background work in that commercial, which was going to pay you better. That became a really good choice, which is why, in my mind, the universe thanked you for getting you in an audition for the film. Now, as far as the prep work for the audition in a film, I think the challenge comes in believing that there is a universal way to prepare for working, a universal way to prepare for an audition. And the fact that you recorded the scene and listened to it for 4 hours in the car on the way down, you know, I think obviously that seems to work for whatever that did for you emotionally, which in my view, emotionally, you felt probably very, very confident. Now, the other thing that I find pretty interesting is the fact that at your age, you're asked to play somebody significantly younger. And that's kind of perplexing, but you did get the audition. If I were casting it, I'm not sure I would bring somebody your age in because the role is requiring somebody younger. On the other hand, what you did, which was interesting, is you decided I'm going to wear a costume. Now, normally, I do not recommend actors wearing costumes for anything. I think it's important to suggest the role and suggest the character. But here's my thought. Because of the discrepancy in age between the character and you, and the fact that you made every effort to sort of, you know, put on the clothing and fix the hair and do everything, I think it probably ended up making you look really funny. And I think it was really appreciated in my mind by the casting director who said, you know what? He made such an effort that he's not really right for this, but maybe there's something else for him. And that's, in my opinion, that's what I suspect happened. So the bottom line is, for whatever reason, it worked out. I think the problem is thinking that that same process would work for you for every audition. I just don't think it does. I think every audition has to be treated as a unique opportunity. I think being prepared is really great. I do not necessarily suggest that you, you know, put on a costume, but I do suggest that you do whatever it takes to make you feel more comfortable and more confident in that audition, whatever it is. Anyway, so I really appreciate that, Michael, and I wish you best of luck and congratulations on booking the movie. And I think it's just kind of was a fun story, and I really appreciate you sharing that with everybody. All right, let's move on to our next letter, shall we? And this one is says, quick question. I have done background and have been a stand-in on a couple of hundred television and film productions in the past several years. I know a lot about working on set, including lingo, decorum, etc. Is there any way to communicate this on my acting resume without looking like a backgrounder for life? Your loyal fan, Robin. Hi, Robin. That's so great that you wrote to me, and I think it's an excellent question. Now, I'll let you know, those of you who are watching and listening, that I did reply to Robin. And I thought the way that she just presented it to me is absolutely a good way to list it on the resume. For example, I know a lot about working on the set, including lingo, decorum, etc. I just want to know a way to communicate it without looking like a backgrounder for life. Well, the way that she presented it is that she's stand-in for a couple of hundred television and film productions over the past several years. I think that's all you need. Put a bullet point and then say that. And that's what I wrote to her. But let me just also take it one step further. It is kind of precarious, in my opinion, to include background work on any resume. Stand-in is different. Stand-in gives you some additional responsibilities, gives you some additional cachet. So I think that that's an acceptable thing. But for those of you who are trying to transition from background work into in front of the camera work, I would be very, very careful about listing background work, and here's the reason why. Almost all of the time, background is a separate entity to any film or television production. It really is not, I'm sorry to say, it is not considered the actual part of a cast thing. It really isn't. You fulfill an important responsibility for a film, and you get paid, and you get a meal. Plus, for actors, I think it's a great idea to do background work only because to just see how a film is done, to see how a film is put together, it's very invaluable information. But then to take it and assume that that's going to make an impact for a casting director is actually trying to cast a role, I don't think it translates. And so I just would be very selective. I would be very, very careful. Stand-in work, obviously, you're standing in for the actor who's playing the part so that it can be well lit. They can use the sound. They can set up the set the way they need to. So that does imply some additional responsibility. And in Robin's case, if she has done a couple of hundred jobs that way, then clearly that's kind of perhaps saying something that would lead a casting director to think, you know what, this person knows what they're doing. So I hope that that's helpful to you. And this is a question, and it kind of relates to my mind a little bit to the previous question about, you know, trying to make a career by juggling background work and stand-in work and then auditioning for actual scenes. You know, I think it's all great. Whatever opportunity can present itself, you want to take advantage of, I think that's great. But as far as career guidance is concerned, that's when I put up the flag a little bit and say, you want to just be really careful about how you present background work on a professional actor resume. This next email is from Kevin. Kevin is a friend of mine I've known for a little while now, and he had a really interesting question that I thought would be really helpful to respond to. He writes, I hope all is well with you and that your office and personal life is normalizing. Yes, Kevin, I think it is, somewhat. Love your podcast, he writes. I had an idea for you. I've been coaching young actors privately, and one of the most consistent questions I get asked is what to do once the piece ends and there's that uncomfortable time right after. Many say they don't know whether to stay, to immediately leave, to wait for some kind of response, to just stand there. But all say it's an uncomfortable and oftentimes weird feeling. I think it would be great to address this for your side of the table and also your view as an actor and what casting directors do or see or view that moment as being. Cheers, Kevin. Well, thank you so much for that, Kevin. I appreciate this question a lot. You know, it's really true, especially in a live Zoom. We're doing a lot of live Zoom auditioning, and there's that weird thing that happens that after the audition is over, some actors immediately drop character and say something like, oh, I'm done, or that's it, or the dreaded scene. Don't ever do that. Don't say scene. You don't have to tell us it's over. Here's the suggestion I'm going to make, which I believe is going to make a significant impact, and I'm going to explain why. But let me first tell you what to do. So when you're working or looking or projecting to the significant other in the scene, hold that final moment, that final beat. Then, simultaneously take a nice deep breath while looking down, and then look up and into the lens of the camera. Don't say a word. In other words, I want you to be in control of the end of your audition when you come back to real time, when you come back to the present moment. So once again, breathe out while looking down, looking up, and then look into the lens of the camera and just be present. Now, the reason that I'm suggesting this is that it's just so incredible when an actor takes control of that environment. They're in control of their audition, and they're in control of how the audition ends. When you do that, it really makes us on the other side of the table feel more comfortable and more confident about your work as an actor. It's a subliminal statement that says, I got this, I'm in control, and you're done. And when that happens, I think the response from casting is usually one of, oh my gosh, good. That's probably one of the few actors that I've had to sort of do some kind of small talk or make some kind of a response or say, great, thank you, okay, bye. You just don't know how to end it. But when you are in control, it really surrounds the entire situation with a level of professionalism and comfort that, in my opinion, you're not going to go wrong. All right, so thank you for that, Kevin. I really appreciate you reaching out. And ladies and gentlemen, let's just take a moment and say, if you have a question or a comment, you can either do it by going to the website castingactorscast.com, or another suggestion is the email castingactorscast@gmail.com. Couldn't be easier, right? Let's move on to another one. This is from a gentleman named Patrick. Hi, Jeffrey. I'm a young actor fresh to auditioning for the Coal Star guest star level. He says, fresh to auditioning for the co-star guest star level. I've been listening to your podcast and love all the knowledge I'm gaining. Thank you. Well, thank you so much, Patrick. I love that. I'm fresh and ready to just make that leap to the guest star co-star level. Now, it's kind of funny that in television, there are these kind of lines of demarcation. You have the under five, you have the day player, then you have the guest star, and then the co-star, and then the also starring, and then you have the special guest star. I mean, there's all kinds of little notations about the size of the role when you are appearing, especially like in episodic television or in situation comedies. It's really, really funny. So being prepared for that next level, I kind of like that. It kind of says to me, that's my next goal. That's the next thing I'm focusing on. I love that. The next right thing for you. So thank you for that, Patrick. I really appreciate it. And thank you for being a listener. I appreciate that as well. Now, this next email is from Bevan. And Bevan writes, hi, Jeffrey. I just watched your latest video. Thank you for the reminder that this profession is a marathon. That was comforting to hear, especially because even though Zoom readings and virtual productions are great, this pandemic has been the longest I've gone without being on stage and feeling the energy from the team on stage and behind the scenes and the audience since I was a kid. And of course, that actory feeling from having a break between shows creeps in, and it feels like I've never been on stage before, and I never will again. Did you ever get that feeling when you were acting? I'm so glad the podcast is getting so popular. I quote you and promote the show to my actor friends pretty regularly. I just want to reach out and say that I am surprised more people don't watch the YouTube channel. Personally, I really like seeing the excitement in your eyes that you get from helping us actors out and your encouraging smile. I will continue to watch and talk it up with gratitude, Bevan. Oh my gosh, thank you so much, Bevan. That is so sweet and so nice of you to share that. And that actory feeling, I know that actory feeling all too well. And it's so interesting, isn't it? It's even when I know I'm in a production, like a regional theater production, when I was acting in regional theater, and the show had like another week to go, I'm already kind of itching like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is the last show I'm going to be in. I'm not going to do anything after this because there's nothing out there for me. What do I do now? Especially if you're in a regional theater out of town, that means you've got to go back to New York and start all over again. That was as bad to me, as bad for me, that feeling, as is, you know, Sunday night is now. You know, the Sunday night dreads. Oh my God, tomorrow's Monday. Ah. So yeah, I know that feeling all too well. And I guess the only solace I can provide is that it's a pretty much universal truth for all of us, that we all project these sort of negative, harmful self-talk, what I call stinking thinking. And you know what? That reminds me. I just reminded myself that that's going to be the name of a podcast coming up two episodes from now. Your stinking thinking. And that's all based on what we tell ourselves. But just know that the right next thing is in your path. It is definitely going to happen. Slow and steady wins the race. It is a marathon, that's for sure. But that means that you don't have to worry about what's coming up next. You just have to take the next right step. And additionally, stop every once in a while for a little sip of water. You know what I'm saying? You got to find moments to be really, really good to yourself. Well, listen, I hope that this has been helpful for you today. I know we've covered a lot of territory, and I couldn't be more grateful that you tuned in to this episode of Casting Actors Cast. Bye-bye.
Casting Actors Cast is made possible with your support just by listening. Please like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Caitlin Clark.